still want to switch it to the one.
Well, I'm 5 o'clock.
We are on Daf Tesfor Amud Aleph, 15a. It's a little bit more than halfway down the page. It's either going to be 15a, 2 or 3. It's the first word on the line. Itmar Palganiska. See where it is in the Gemara there? Approximately a little more than halfway down the page. Now you see the big one. Itmar Palganiska. Okay. Here we go. All right. This is, we're now on the last section of Mishnah. Selvin, it's a new sugya today, so you don't have to feel that you're behind on this here. We've learned a number of things in the first Mishnah. We're going through this very quickly here. There are a number of laws dealing with payments of damages. And the last law, law number 8 of this Mishnah says, there are times where both the Mazik and Nisig carry the burden of payment. Somehow, there are some cases where even the damagee has to suffer some of the loss in the payment, which you'd have to understand what that means. We're going to come to it today, God willing. But we're going to come to it via looking at a totally different sugya. And this sugya is called sugya number 6, towards the bottom there. The central issues, there's two issues in sugya 6. Issue 1 is, what is the situation in law number 8? What's the case which says there are times where both the mazik and nizik carry the burden of payment? What is that case? There are times. What are the times? And number 2, which we just whetted your appetite last week with, regarding the half payment, when a tam, a ox, gores the first 3 times you pay a half payment, what's the nature of that payment? Is it considered a compensation or is it a fine? And what's the difference? The difference would be if the owner of the animal of a tam that gores comes to court and confesses. If it's a fine, we have a rule that if you admit a fine, you don't have to pay it. If it's a compensation, you'd have to pay it anyway. So that question somehow carries into our Mishnah of, are there times when both the Mazik and Nizik carry the burden of payment? And that's the discussion we're going to have today. So we're going to have to deal with both issues. What's the case of our Mishnah? And what is this idea of the half payment of a tam? What's the nature of that? So those are the two issues we're going to deal with today. Says the Gemara, Itmar, it has been stated, it's a well-known argument. And the argument's dealing with this issue. Palga niska, the half damage that you pay for keren, when an animal gores and you pay half damages. What's the nature of that half damage? The Torah says you pay half damage, but the Torah didn't tell us what's the nature of why you pay the half damage the first 3 times that a shore gores. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa says, Mamona, it's a compensation. It's monetary compensation. Footnote 18, it's a proper damage, payment of damages, not a penalty. Accordingly, he pays it on the basis of his own admission, even in the absence of witnesses. Doesn't matter if he admits, he still has to pay, because it's a monetary compensation. What's the problem?
Well, if it's a monetary compensation, why would it be in half?
And well, maybe the Gemara's going to answer that. Give it a chance, man. Give it a chance, man. Rav Huna prayed Rav Yeshua Amar Knosa. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, says, no, it's a fine. It's a penalty. Therefore, if he would admit it, he wouldn't have to pay. And therefore, since there's lots of Shelley Glowinskis in the world, Gemara wants to ask the next questions. Exactly. The Gemara now explains the rationale of both rabbis. Rav Papa Amar, you could have asked the question reversed as well.
Yeah.
If it's a fine, why is it only half? Or why is there a fine? So let's discuss. Rav Papa Amar Mamona, Rav Papa says it's a monetary compensation. Why is it a monetary compensation? Kasavar, he holds, stam shvarim, the average ox, lav becheskes shimur kaiminon. They're not under the chazaka, they're not under the assumption that they are self-watched by themselves. In other words, we say ordinary oxen are not considered in a guarded state, meaning to say it is usual for an ox to gore. It is common. That's the whole discussion here. Look at footnote 20. It is common for oxen, even a tom, to gore, and they must therefore be guarded against care and damages. Left to themselves, however, they cannot be considered guarded against doing such a damage. In other words, their nature does not by itself guard them from doing it. So this rabbi holds, an animal, an ox, would normally gore other people. He would normally do it. And therefore, really, it's a monetary compensation. But wait a minute. If it's a monetary compensation, then why aren't we paying the whole thing? Which will be explained.
But also, that's saying that it's always a mu'at.
Correct. Well, we'll see. Ubedinu, and really, the law should be, really, deboi la shlume kule. You should pay the full damage. Why? Because that would be negligence. You have an ox. You know oxen gore. Even a first timer. Any ox that's walking along, you should assume it can gore. No different than an animal will eat grass or trample on things. And really, really, you should pay the full amount. But we gotta find out. There must be some, the Torah, for some reason, says still only pay half. Why? Rachmana hudachas alehu. But the Torah took pity on him, on the owner, we'll see why, and reduced the liability to half. The Torah makes an exception to the rule over here. Why? Because you're not going to like this answer. Da'akati lo iya'ad turei. Because the ox has not yet become a mu'ad yet. What does that mean? So let's look at footnote 22. For though care and damage is not uncommon, it is less common than other forms of damage, such as shein and rego. So it's not so common. So in other words, there's like three categories. You have something that's totally not expected at all, something that is very expected, and something that's somewhere in between. And therefore, when someone gets very expected, like trampling and eating and stuff like that, that's so common, you gotta keep an eye on that animal every second. And if you don't, you're 100% negligent and 100% you pay. An ox, it's not like it's unheard of, but it's not something that's so common either. So since it's somewhere in between, we give them a fine, we say you pay, but you only pay half. It's not as expected. Now, I could definitely hear an argument against this svara and would say, well, listen, even if it's partially expected, you should have been taken care of. It's not like it's totally not at all in the realm of that happening. But that's his svara. That's his svara. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Torah takes mercy on. What's the matter, Larry? Missing something or? Okay, well, I think you're gonna have to have a tremendous mysterious nevish for the next 20 minutes. We'll get you a cup afterward. You know, our great grandparents went in the mikvahs of freezing ice, and our mysterious nevish says there's no cup today. Okay, Hashem's gonna give you extra reward today. What can I tell you? Okay, so anyway, so that's the svara for Rav Papa. Rav Papa's svara is that it's not as common, so the Torah has a bit of mercy on the guy. He doesn't get off the hook, but he gets a little bit off the hook. That's his svara. Rav Huna b'rei Rav Yeshua Amar, next rabbi, Rav Huna, the son of Yeshua, says, Kenasa, it's a fine. Why is it a fine? Because he holds the opposite. Really, it's an ox is normally considered in a guarded state. You can say they don't ordinarily gore or do any malicious damage. And therefore the owner never really has to watch them at all. Mm-hmm. You don't have to watch him at all, because it's totally, he holds it's totally, they're arguing what's the nature of an ox. Totally unnatural for it to gore or do any kind of malicious damage. So therefore, what should really be? Ubedin hu shalol l'shalom klal. So really, he shouldn't have to pay anything at all, because it's a total accident. But here the Torah is going to fine him. Why? Rachmanan hu dekan, say the Torah is going to fine him. So therefore, he will guard his animal, and he pays half the damage. Why? Footnote 24. To spur him on to guard his animal more carefully, because since we see he does damage a little bit, since he's gone out of the normal, this could be, as they say, a meshugana cow, a meshugana ox. In other words, and therefore we fine him to put little teeth into future. This one you're going to have to watch a little better. So a little better, so we'll give it him 2-3 times. After the third time, we say, this guy, this animal's for sure 100% now. So we can get away for it a couple times with half, but that's how you work it out. So that's the two opinions. Is it a monetary compensation or is it a fine? Okay. So now, we're going to now plug in our Mishnah to try to bring a proof to one of these two opinions. We've got to prove who's the right opinion. Again, what does it matter? It matters if the owner of the damaging ox would admit that his animal gored, and if it would be a fine, you would not pay. If it's a monetary compensation, you'd have to pay. So let's see if we can bring a proof from our Mishnah to one of these two opinions. Okay, let's try it again. Tanakh, we learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah we just started off with this morning. It says like this, Hanizik v'hamazik, the damager and the damagee, bitashlumim. There are cases where they can both be involved in the payment of that has to be done. Now, footnote 25. The simple meaning of this is that the payment costs both of them something. The damager pays part of the damage, and the damaged party suffers the loss of part of it. In other words, it's a case where there was a damage. Let's say it's $100 of damage. We only require the damager to pay part, and therefore the damagee, so to speak, absorbs the loss, so that's kind of saying he's paying. Yeah. It's like he's paying, because if you absorb a loss, it's like you're paying. Yeah. So it won't be a case where the damager pays part, and the damagee absorbs part of the cost. So now let's plug in our machlokas of the half for knas, and let's see if it fits in according to any one of these people. So Gemara says, Bishlama, that's very good. Lamanta Omar Palga Niska Mamon, if you say that the half payment is for damages. Now let's think about that. So what is the real damage? Let's say it kills an ox, gores an ox, makes $100 of damage. If you're saying the half payment is damages, so what was the actual damage? $100. Right. But how much of the damage is the damager required to pay? 50, yeah. What's happened to the other 50? You eat it. That means the nizik is absorbing the loss. Because we're really saying it's a $100 loss. The Torah is saying, you know what? We have a little rachmonis on the owner of the ox, because it's not that typical. It could happen, but not that typical. We'll only make him pay 50. Very nice. And the Torah now is requiring the owner of the damaged animal to suffer the $50 loss. So now we have a case. We have a case in the Mishnah, because otherwise, what case could be where the owner of the damaged animal suffers, has to eat some of the loss? It's very good. If you hold that the half damage of a tam is payment, then that's the damagee is absorbing half of the loss. It's very good. Now we have a case in our Mishnah. That's what it says. Hainu, that makes sense. Our Mishnah that says that the damagee is absorbing part of the loss and he's taking care of part of the payment, that makes sense. Look at footnote 26. For according to this view, the ox's owner should by rights have to pay full damages since he failed to guard his ox properly. Thus, the damaged party is entitled to receive full compensation for his loss. Since he receives only half of that amount, he can be said to be involved in the payment since he is in fact required to forego the half compensation. Very good. That works out really good. However, if you look at the other way around, it doesn't make sense in our Mishnah. But if you say the half of the payment of a tam is a fine, so tell me, how much is really the financial payment?
Zero.
So was it possible? So really, nothing is owed. So now he pays 50 as a fine. Could we apply the words to say that the damaged party absorbs the cost of the payment? If there's no payment at all? You understand? If you're saying that the half is a fine, it's not a payment, and the Mishnah uses the word that both the damaged or damagee are involved in the payment. So if it's a fine, there's no payment involved. There's no restitution. So all he never had anything entitled to him at all. The damagee wasn't entitled to, was that the zero payment. The fact that the mazik pays half, it's not that the nizik is absorbing half of the loss. He didn't get anything to begin with. It's just a fine that's being levied against the guy.
Was there any loss?
He's not, remember, the wording of the Mishnah is that the damager and the damagee take part in the payment. Take part of the tashlumim, of the payment. If you take part of the payment means that really there's a payment of X and the damagee is absorbing part of that payment that doesn't come to him. If you hold that the half payment is a payment, because it's supposed to be a full payment, then it makes sense that the damagee has absorbed half the loss. If you're saying when half damage happens, it's zero payment, it's not restitution, you're not doing tashlumim, you're not paying back for what you damage, rather it's just an imposed fine, that's an externally imposed fine by the Torah, so there was never, even when he's paying the 50, it's not a payment, it's just a fine, not a restitution. So he's not absorbing anything, so it doesn't apply. So he's saying like this. Let's finish. Hashtu the lavdi day tishakel. Now that he takes, he gets the half, but not by his own right. It's just a penalty payment. So the word bitashlumim, isa, can he be involved in the payment? Look at footnote 27. The Mishnah says that the damagee is involved in the payment. So can we say to be involved in the payment implies that the damaged party is giving up something that should really come to him? That's what it means to be involved in the payment. But according to the view that the payment is a penalty, the damaged party is not really entitled to receive anything, since the ox's owner is not to blame for the damage done by his ox. Thus, even the half damages that the Nizik does receive is nothing more than a gift bestowed upon him by the Torah in order to penalize the Masik. Accordingly, the law of half damages cannot be said to be costing the damaged party anything, since it actually gives him more than what he is entitled to, not less. Well, that the question is, how do you view the half that you pay? If it's a fine, it means the ox, the old ox, does not owe him a penny, because it's a totally accident. I owe you zero. There's no payment. Tough luck. That was an accident. I don't have to pay for accidents. And that's the truth. The Torah says, okay, you're right, but we want to fine you. The fact that we give the nizik the fine, that's not a payment. So he's not absorbing any loss. There was never, he absorbed the loss before the halacha decided there's anything to pay. But it has nothing to do with absorbing the loss in the payment.
Right.
The Torah is saying, you know, there's certain situations, too bad. It was an accident, the guy doesn't have to pay you anything. There's no payment.
So he absorbs the loss. He
doesn't, but it's not a question of he gets less payment. When the Mishnah says the mazik and nizik are involved in the payment, that's only when the Torah says you gotta pay. And then now you don't have to pay the full amount. Now he absorbs the loss. If the Torah says you really don't got to pay anything, we're just saying it's a fine. So in other words, the Torah is really saying, in this case, sorry, you know, the guy doesn't have to pay anything. You know, we'll do you a favor. We'll give you 50% as a gift. So you can't say that the guy absorbed part of the payment.
No, the loss, not the payment.
He lost it a long time ago when it got gored. He's not losing anything in the payment process because there's no payment.
I always thought that fines are paid like to the government.
No.
As opposed to the injured party.
That's in this world, in this place.
Yeah.
But that's a silly government.
Because if you pay a fine to an injured party, it's automatically compensation.
No, that's not so. That's the whole point. That's what we're saying. Let's say a case of where a ganef, someone steals furtively, right? We pay double payment, right? There's no way you could say that the double payment is compensation. Right. You're giving the guy an extra $100, that can't be compensation. Right? The Torah is saying, you know, we, for whatever reason, we want to really let you know we don't like what you did. You got to pay double. The fact that that guy was the victim, so we got to give it to somebody, what do you have to give it to the government for? Give it to the guy who was the victim. He's the one who went through the anguish, etc. So he's the one who gets to collect the fine. But it's not a compensation. Fines are never, ever looked at as a compensation. Never. And that's the rule. If the simple rule of thumb, if the full amount is paid of the damage, it's not a compensation. Whenever it's an amount that's not the full amount, then it's a knas, it's a fine. If it's double or half.
When the full amount is paid, it is a compensation.
Yeah, that's what, I didn't say that. When the full amount is paid, it is a compensation. It is a compensation. Okay.
So I get all that. Just at the end of the day, he still gets his $50.
But it wasn't as a form of payment.
I know, but he still gets it.
Doesn't matter.
So he still uses that money to mitigate his loss.
Yeah. Fine, but the truth is, but the damager never owed him anything. That's the point.
Yeah, I get that.
The damager never owed him anything. There never was a payment of restitution made.
It's never due.
It was, that's right. It wasn't due. That's a good word. It's nothing due. When the Mishnah says that the nizik can be involved in payment, that means when it's due to him, he doesn't get it. So if you say it's a payment, it's due to him, the full amount, he doesn't get it. If it's a fine, nothing's due to him, he doesn't get it. So it would appear from this Mishnah, we have a proof to the opinion that says that the half payment is a restitution and not a fine. Because otherwise, what would be the case of the Mishnah? Right? That's the proof. Okay, let's take a look at the notes up to that point. Okay, look at one. Machlokas. Rav Papa says that a tam that pays half damage is mamon, meaning a proper obligation. It is not a fine. Maybe I want to add the word obligation / restitution. Rav Huna, Breder of Yeshua, says it is a fine. Okay, let's just add the word says. Okay, explanation of Machlokes. Rav Papa holds that oxen are not considered guarded. Really, the owner should pay full damage. Let me just add, not considered guarded, and normally, maliciously damaged. Really, the owner should pay full damage. The Torah is lenient because he was not yet warned to guard it. We could say, put in brackets, it is not as usual for an animal to maliciously damage as much as it eats or tramples. Make it a little clearer. Okay, Rav Huna Breder Yeshua holds that oxen are considered guarded, and it would be unusual if it damaged. Really, the owner should be exempt. The Torah fined him to encourage him to guard his ox. Statement in our Mishnah. The damager and victim are both involved in payments. Question, this is like the opinion that half damage is mammon. The victim loses half of what he deserves, so we say that he participates in the payments. According to the opinion that it is a fine, the victim receives what he does not deserve. Can we say he participates in the payments? So that seems to be the proof. Now, what would be the way to get out of this proof? What type of logic would we have to employ to say that's not a proof, that this mission is not a proof to anyone, to that opinion? Well, you don't have to tell me the answer, but just how would we begin to say it's not a proof?
The fine's part of a payment. We can't.
Well, if you say it's a fine, if you're the one who holds it's a fine, you have to look at that Mishnah. You have to have a way of explaining that Mishnah. Now, how would you find a way to explain that Mishnah? Find another possible scenario where the victim is absorbing the loss and not the case of where Knox scores. Let's find another scenario. You know, there could be more than one example of where the damagee absorbs the loss. Is the only possible situations when a Tom gores and you pay half. Maybe there's another situation that you're not aware of where there's a loss that's absorbed. The Mishnah just says there are cases where the damagee absorbs the loss. So we go to the quick and easy quick one. Tom only pays half. He pays only half. Guess it must be he pays restitution and not a fine. Maybe he pays the fine. Oh, then what would the case be? Well, let's think of another case. You could still hold that restitution, that half is fine and not restitution. The Mishnah says, the Mishnah's not talking about an ox. Maybe we'll find another scenario where the damagee suffers the loss. You understand? If we could find another case where the damagee suffers the loss, it has something to do with the case of a Tom Goring. Let's say a Tom Gores pays half. And that's not a case where the victim sustains part of the loss. But it's not talking about that. We're going to find another case for you. You understand? If we would just find a different case that satisfies the criteria of the Mishnah. Now, if there be no other possible case in the world, and this is the only possible case where a Tom gores, yeah, then you got to prove that half payment is restitution, not a fine. But if I can come up with a case where the owner of the damaged ox sustains the loss that has nothing to do with a Tom, then I'm okay.
But does the Mishnah say there are times when...
Yep. There are times when... Let's
or
go back.
Or does it just say... What does it actually say again?
Well, I'm looking at the English. 8. There are times where both the Mazik and Nizik carry the burden. It can't mean anything else. Because it can't mean the Nizik always sustains the loss.
Okay, so...
Maybe. I mean, what could it mean? What could the words mean? There's a case where the Nizik sustains the loss. Not every case in the world. It can happen that a Nizik sustains the loss. Yeah, so the guy who holds that a half payment is payment, he'll say, that's the case. That's the case. I say, see, that's the case. The other rabbi says, wait, maybe not. So if the rabbi can come up with, and the other rabbi come up with another scenario, then it's not a problem for him. That's going to have to be the way of finding some kind of answer, and he is going to find it for us. He is going to find it for us, right? Or it will be a very boring Gemara, right? Okay, that's the question. So we're holding right before the answer. So let's now go back to the Gemara. More answers. Lo, no. Nitzracha. We need that line of the Mishnah to say that the damagee absorbs part of the loss for a different scenario. And this is something that you're well aware of. Okay, let me ask you. After the animal gores and the animal is damaged, let's say it was a $200 animal, it's worth $100 now. Now, right now it's worth $100. Now, it takes, let's say, a day to schlep it out to court. And by the time it gets to the court, it's gone down in value to $90. Now the court looks and assesses the damage and say, well, your animal's worth $90 now. How much does the damager pay? Does he pay $100 based on the loss at the time of the damage? Or does he pay $110 based on what it's been evaluated now in the court? Again, the carcass. The animal has been killed. It was a $200 animal. Now it's only worth $100. The carcass is worth $100. At the moment of impact, of death, it's worth $100. It takes some time to get it to Besdin. And in the time it takes to get it to Besdin, it's gone down, let's say 10% in value. It's worth 90. The question is, how much does the damager have to pay?
100. Yeah. We had a case like this. Somewhere.
For sure we did. We learned it on the second Mishnah not so long ago. This we'll see in a minute. The law is, who sustains that loss of that $10? The damagee.
Yeah.
So now we have a case where the damagee sustains the loss. And that's what it says. The Mishnah states in only respect to the depreciation of the carcass that takes place after the animal's death and before the case comes to court. This loss is borne by the damaged party alone and represents his share of the payment. And that's what you see in point 28 where you were kind of remembered. The Gemara above in 10b taught that the Torah made the damaged party responsible for the carcass. Therefore, the damager is only required to pay the difference between what the gored animal was worth when it was alive and when it was worth immediately after its death. Skip the brackets. Should the carcass get to rot and thereby lose part of its value before the case comes to court, that loss is not figured into the valuation of the damage. The value is absorbed solely by the damaged party. Thus, although it is true that the damaged party is not really entitled to anything, right? Nothing. Nevertheless, since the Torah said that half damages should be paid to him, we would expect him to receive half the amount of his loss. Blah, blah, blah. That's all. This all is not important. But it's clear. What's happened? He's lost. The damagee has lost the depreciation of the carcass. And that's what he absorbs. That's a good answer.
It is, but what if everything happens and there's no depreciation?
Oh, so only in a case where there is depreciation, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Just like the other rabbi says, it's always being in a case when a tom gores. So in a case where there is depreciation, that's the case where the onus sustains the loss. So now it comes out, we have two different ways to learn this line of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says there are cases where the damagee absorbs the loss, the rabbi holds that a half payment of a tom is a financial payment. He'll say that's the case. While the other rabbi who says that no, that's a fine, and that can't be the case of the Mishnah, he'll say it's speaking about what? Depreciation. Whenever there's a depreciation of the carcass, that's what he pays and he sustains that loss. And that, wrong one, that's what we have, point number five, the answer. The Mishnah refers to the decrease in value of a carcass which the victim suffers. That's what we're up to at this point in the Gemara. We'll stop over here. It's 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. You know what the question is going to be?
Yeah.
On this answer? But we already learned that point, that the damagee suffered from the previous Mishnah that we learned, guys. Why would the author have to teach it to me twice? That's going to be the question tomorrow. But we'll leave that for tomorrow. But right now we have two different ways to learn the Mishnah. So remember, our central issue is, what's the case where the Nizik suffers part of the loss? Now there's a machlokas. Is it a case of half damage of Tom? Or is it the case of depreciation? And also, what's the half payment Tom about? Well, we see there's two opinions. One says it's compensation. So the one who says it's compensation will say that the case of our Mishnah is half of Tom. The one who says it's a fine will say the case of the Mishnah is depreciation. Yeah.
So if we're saying the Mishnah says the damager and the victim are both involved in payments.
Well, the damager is always involved in the payment. The chiddush is.
Wait, if it's a fine, he's not involved in a payment.
Okay, so again, the Mishnah says there are cases.
But in this case, if there's depreciation, he's not involved.
Oh, the Mazik isn't? The Mazik's paying $100 for the initial goring.
It's a fine.
No, it's not. I'm not talking about a tom. We're talking about where the animal, the animal's a muad.
Okay.
Animal's a muad.
Okay.
Right? You paid a full amount. Any, right?
Okay. So it has to be a muad and depreciated. And then they both have payment.
That's right.
Okay.
Or anything else that it pays the full amount.
Okay.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good point. Okay, Larry.